But today we're gonna move into part two, okay? And we're gonna talk about fasting this morning. All right? That's kind of what I thought would happen. Thank you for your excitement over that. Anytime we talk about spiritual disciplines, that's kind of the response I expect. So I'm gonna quickly define what fasting is. All right? Fasting is abstaining from food. Okay? We're gonna move to a broader definition. Okay, a broader definition might be abstaining from a particular thing for a spiritual purpose. Okay, and so those are a couple of working definitions that that we're going to use this morning. But I have a video that I want to show you that's going to be very educational. Okay, should help inform you. Why are you guys just laughing already? What if it was very serious? You got like. What if it made you cry? You guys would be surprised. Just because you laughed last week doesn't mean you're going to get to this week. Well, anyway, to help speed our teaching along, we're going to show you this video, and Amy's going to come up and join me. So you go ahead and play that.
I think fasting's awesome. I mean, where else can you combine spirituality and dieting all in the same way? I mean, it gets a bad rap, pound for pound, it does. You know, people think it's for monks or supermodels and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you, it's for everybody. Last summer, I had a 20-year reunion / barbecue / swim party to go to, and I've done but had to drop about 85 pounds. So thanks to fasting, what has two thumbs and look good in a swimsuit? This guy. Thank you, Jesus.
Fasting? Yeah. I mean, I think it's great to skip a meal or two so you can hear God's voice better, you know, stay plugged into Him. Yeah.
You know, some people fast from phones and music and gadgets.
What? That's not a sacrifice. That's not even biblical. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know? I mean, God gave us this stuff so we could stay plugged into Him, maximize our lives.
It also keeps us busy enough to never be still or quiet.
Are you even a Christian?
I dare you to fast from your phone for 1 minute.
Fine. Minute. You got it. No biggie. I don't care. I probably should take that.
I fast. Okay, that's a total lie. I don't even fast at all. Okay, I want to. Another lie. Don't even think about it. Deal is, I'm hypoglycemic and diabetic, and that's not even close to the truth at all, okay? Hey, even the Bible says, he who hopes dies fasting, right? Right? Okay, Benjamin Franklin said that right before he died. Bottom line, fasting makes me hungry.
Are we almost done?
Hello! I'm Brett Johansson, and I believe that fasting is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines one can achieve in their faith. When my family or friends invite me to go to lunch, I gently remind them and passive-aggressively admonish them by reminding them, "Did you not get my fasting notification email? Oh, that I had the luxury to eat lunch like you do." Every year around Easter, I go through a 40-day fast to heighten my sensation of the Easter holiday. This year, however, I've decided to tack on 10 extra days. So by the time we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, I will have been fasting for 50 whole days. If I survive.
In my fast, I have a very rigid schedule. And if you do not have a rigid schedule, then God does not approve. Some people like to cheat, and they drink flavored waters and juices within the fast. You must be drinking unfiltered well water. And if you do not drink unfiltered well water, God does not approve. In the afternoon, I put a cone of silence around me. I do not talk to anyone. Yes, that does annoy people. Yes, it does anger my coworkers. I am persecuted within my fast. And if you are not persecuted within the fast, God does not approve. When I get home, I go straight to my prayer closet. I do not talk to my wife. I do not play with the kids. I let them fend for themselves. And if the kids do not fend for themselves and the wife does not get talked to, God does not approve.
You know what? I'm going to ask nice one more time, and then I am not in control of what happens, okay? So give me the phone. Okay, fine. I need the phone. I need to call. No, 911.
Well, I can't think of anything else to say.
I think that about covers it.
Close
yeah.
in prayer and go eat pizza, right? Can anybody identify with any of these characters? Would you be brave enough to? No, I bet a lot of you could identify with the media addict, probably, right?
No, I couldn't identify with that
so
at all.
So here's a question to get us started. Okay, it's a very spiritual, deep question. So ponder it before you answer quickly. What would be the hardest food to give up for you?
Sugar.
That's just you're just eating. Sugar syrup. It's own food category.
Candy, candy corn, candy canes.
Exactly. Okay. Please don't invite me over for spaghetti. Okay. Anyone else? All I heard was sugar, which is
cheese.
Breakfast pizza is a good one.
Coffee.
Yeah. I think barbecue smoked meats would be the hardest for me. Okay, some of you should be shouting right now about that. Okay, with a side of Italian. Okay, that's sort of the two there. Mm-hmm. Did you have one? I should know this probably.
Probably cookies.
Cookies.
I love a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, so some of this is her fault, by the way. It's not all me. But anyway, so here's our goal this morning. Last week we talked about prayer, but with prayer we kind of started with the assumption that if you're a follower of Jesus, that's sort of on your radar, like, hey, maybe I should try that sometime. And it was really kind of a practical thing. We gave you guys some suggestions and handouts. There's some more at the Connect Center if you missed last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can grab that. So here with fasting, we're going to make a little bit more of a spiritual and biblical case before we get into some practical helps, mm-hmm. okay? And we have more than probably we can share.
Sure.
There's no part two, so buckle up. I'm probably going to talk fast. Okay, this will be the first time. Those of you that have been here since day one of the Reasoners, you know I don't normally talk fast. Okay. But there might be a lot of that. But I can't hear very well.
It's on theme to be fast, is what she said.
Okay.
But depending on what spiritual tradition you grew up in, maybe sure. this is something that you've never really been exposed to or even really thought about. So we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about why this is even something that we would preach about on a Sunday morning.
Right. So we are going to start with some biblical examples. We are not going to go through all these, okay? You can take a picture. We also will have a handout later that's going to have some of these. So we got some Old Testament examples first, okay? We have some Old Testament examples, I believe.
Any second.
Bam! Look at that. Right on time. Never late. So here's and I don't know that our list even have all of them, okay?
Yeah,
so
this is not meant to be comprehensive, but it's just meant to give you a sample, like from, you know, the Pentateuch, the books, the first five books of the law, all the way through the prophets, we see that there are people in the Bible engaged in fasting.
Yeah, so there's biblical examples of this. Now, here's some New Testament examples of fasting. All right, so there's several there. Some of you are probably aware of some that, hey, that happened some in the Old Testament. Maybe you're surprised there's that much in the New Testament, so it's not just an Old Testament thing. Because sometimes we may want to not include that. If we don't understand how the Old Testament connects to the New, we see something in the Old Testament. Well, I'm not sure that still applies to me. But there are several examples in Scripture, and we're going to come back to a couple of those. But we wanted to see that there are several examples in Scripture that this is not a new thing or strange thing for people that follow the Lord to do.
And it's from the beginning to the end of Scripture. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament, both before Jesus died and also after he was raised to life and the church was established. So you can see throughout Scripture, God's people have engaged in the practice of fasting.
Right. So let's get into a biggie, okay? This is going to echo something that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Jesus assumes that we're going to fast.
Yeah, we talked last week in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Jesus gives a lot of instructions of the new way that he expects his people to live. And he says, when you pray, I want you to do it like this. And then he goes on to say, and when you fast, I want you to do it like this.
Yeah, so in this passage briefly in Sermon on the Mount, he's often correcting and reframing and clarifying things he expects of his followers because the Pharisees did it for reasons that were not always pure. Okay, it became very ritualistic. Yeah. They did it for selfish reasons. And even in Jesus' passage in Matthew chapter 6, where he's talking about when you fast, if I think we have that, go ahead and pull that up. Okay, he's teaching about it. He said, when you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting and be like walking around. Fasting's really hard. I'm so spiritual. Okay, that he's trying to correct that, but nowhere in this teaching is he expecting his followers not to fast anymore. Okay, and then in Luke chapter 5, there's also here he's speaking, and some of the Pharisees said, "Hey, John's disciples, you know, they fasted, mm-hmm. but yours don't. What's the deal with that?" And so Jesus is making the comparison to a wedding celebration where the bridegroom is with them. Okay. He says, you don't fast when the bridegroom is with you because that is a time of celebration. And we're going to see fasting in Scripture is often connected to times of sorrow or mourning or repentance along with several other things. Mm-hmm. So he's like, listen, while the bridegroom's here, we're going to celebrate. But then he goes on to say, in those days they will fast. Okay, so he's saying, like, listen, when I'm gone, my followers are going to fast.
Well, and you had some really information that you had come across about specifically what this would have meant to Jesus' audience, right? About the bridegroom and the feasting that would happen in conjunction with a wedding.
I thought I just said that, did I not?
Did you not just say that?
Sorry, I don't mean to argue like this in front of you. It's really embarrassing. If I did, I forgot. So just so you know, the first service, this went really well. Mm-hmm. I didn't forget a thing. But when we teach together, we don't rehearse, and so I'm blanking. So do you remember what I said?
But there was specific feasting that came with weddings in the New Testament times, right?
Yeah. The Pharisees had a habit of fasting, but the wedding feast was usually like a 7-day celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so they were not expected to fast during that time because it was a time of celebration, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I still forgetting what you?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Thank you. I'll take you to lunch, too.
I mean, thanks.
You're not a yote, but I'll do that. And so, in these passages, Jesus is affirming fasting while he's still correcting some misperceptions. Okay, some people will quickly read these and think, Jesus doesn't expect his followers to fast at all, which is really not the point that's being made here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, here's another biggie. Okay, this is kind of a spiritual reason to fast, bigger picture. Anybody up? So you can get a sticker for free on your way out if you get this correct. What did Jesus say about following him? You may remember in a general sense?
Take up your cross.
Okay. The message of Jesus is clear throughout the New Testament. Following Jesus requires self-sacrifice. Following Jesus requires self-denial. Following Jesus costs us everything. We've got to be willing to put it all on the table.
Yeah.
Okay, and fasting follows that line of teaching, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says here, you see it on the screen in Luke chapter 9, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, what does he say? They must deny themselves and take up the cross daily, right, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit their very self or their very soul? The translation says the very soul.
I was reading about this verse just yesterday, and the book that I was reading, he said, it's interesting that Jesus couples denying yourself with taking up your cross as two separate things, because the cross represents where Jesus died for our sins, right? So we have to throw off our sin, but to deny ourselves means a denial of maybe things which are not inherently sinful, to give up some of our healthy passions and desires for the sake of the kingdom of God. It reminds me of in Hebrews when the writer of that book says that we throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there's sin in our lives, obviously, that we have to put off, but sometimes God asks us to put off things that are good and right for us to engage in as a way of denying ourselves for him.
Well, I'm thinking about it because I don't think I said it very clearly at the beginning. Listen, we have some questions that were submitted on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a question about fasting, please use our text number.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, can you throw that up one more time? It's also should be on the back side of the Connect card. All right, 605-215-5150. If you have a question, we will try to get to those. I don't know that we can get to all of them today. It's another reason I'm talking fast, as we're trying to get to some of those. Here's something to remember about fasting, okay? And we're going to talk in just a minute about when to fast, how to fast. We're talking about self-denial.
Yeah.
Right? What is our most basic need as a human being, as a humanoid, as a person?
They said oxygen. You can't really fast from breathing.
Well, you can, but like...
Maybe 30 seconds,
yeah,
a minute.
Like you're going to... Okay, yeah, food. You don't eat food, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's our most basic need. All right? You ever watch a nature show? They have two basic needs, all right? But eating is usually the first one. I mean, it's a necessity,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
And so fasting from food helps fight our natural inclination to self-preservation.
Yeah.
Which sounds very counterintuitive, but when you look at it in a spiritual sense, that's the very thing Jesus asks us to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Fasting helps us fight this mm-hmm. need to, I'd say live, that sounds really, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you don't fast until you nearly die, you're not doing it right. No, I'm not saying that, so don't anybody get on the Twitter book and start saying, hey, he's out of his mind, okay?
But I think the more countercultural the practice of fasting seems, the more we need it. I love the way, there's a book called The Benedict Option by okay. Rob Dreher, and I love the way he puts it. He says, a Christian who practices self-denial trains himself to say no to his desires and yes to God. That mentality has all but disappeared from the West in modern times. We have become a people oriented around comfort. We expect our religion to be comfortable. Suffering doesn't make sense to us. And without fasting and other ascetic disciplines, we lose the ability to tell ourselves no to the things our hearts desire. And so that's why we're encouraging you to fast, is because our culture is saying anything you want is your right to have, and you should indulge in it as soon as possible. And the Bible does not teach that. And so fasting is a way for us to reorient ourselves to God's truth and recognize that his desires for us are more important than our desires for ourselves.
Right. Paul even talks about this as he's writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter mm-hmm. 9. This speaks to this very much, this issue of self-denial. He says, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets a prize? Right? Not like today, you get a trophy, right? Everybody gets a trophy. Okay, he says, run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Okay, he says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I would like to see that, though. I don't know what sometimes the Bible's entertaining to me as I just picture somebody running aimlessly. It says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Okay? He's actually not talking about physically harming himself, you know, self-flagellation. Okay? Here he's comparing this to an athletic endeavor, which they would have known at that time. Okay? We often think of people in the first century as barbaric heathens. I mean, they were familiar with Olympic-style games and competitions. Okay? Mm-hmm. During the Roman Empire here. But he's talking about self-discipline. He's saying, I'm not going to let my body disqualify me for following Jesus. And I do want to say this because this isn't really in our culture today, but there was a time where people think the body is evil. We're not saying the body's evil. It's not what we're saying. Okay, this ties to some first century asceticism. Mm-hmm. Okay, God made the body. The body's not evil, but the body's a tool, and we believe because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve, we are born with a sinful nature. Scripture often calls that flesh. That's what we always have to fight. The part that always wants our way, me, 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 even when it's not the right thing. And so that's what we're talking about, self-denial. And it's a powerful tool. Like you yeah. talked about, this culture mm-hmm. preaches self-indulgence, not self-denial or self-restraint. Mm-hmm. Okay? But fasting is a tool that I really believe can help you. If you're struggling with temptation of any kind,
yeah.
Okay, it's not a magic wand, it's not a silver bullet, but you want to attack temptation that you're struggling with. If you've got some addictive tendencies and you feel like you're failing all the time, I would suggest incorporating fasting as a spiritual discipline, because there's no more basic thing than rejecting your body's need to eat. Okay?
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing more basic than that. And so it's kind of a brief case for why to fast. Let's talk about like when to fast or kind of what
yeah.
would motivate a fast, okay? So we're not talking
like what time
Saturday,
of day,
okay?
Yeah.
We're not talking,
but just, like during what seasons in yeah. your life would you maybe want to apply this principle?
Yeah, these are some things that we've seen in Scripture.
Yeah, we threw up those slides earlier of all the different examples of people fasting in the Bible. And this is just, as far as we could tell, I don't know that this is a comprehensive
list.
All
exclusive. There's some
but
overlap.
People fasted in the Bible for all kinds of different reasons. Paul and Barnabas were a part of the church in Antioch. And as they were fasting and praying, God gave them the idea for missionaries. And then as Paul and Barnabas went around to the churches, every time they commissioned new leaders, it said they would do it with prayer and fasting. We see in the Old Testament, a lot of times during the ministry of the prophets, people would fast as repentance for their own sins or for corporately for the sins of their nation. People would fast when they were looking to God for answers for some sort of desperate situation where they needed God's mercy or his intervention. They needed wisdom and understanding. Daniel and his friends fasted before King Nebuchadnezzar was about to execute them because they couldn't interpret his dream. Esther and her servants and the Jews in the city of Susa fasted before she went before the king to plead for mercy. So all of these different times we see people in the Bible fasting. So there's not necessarily one like, oh, I can only fast if my friend needs healing, or I can only fast for this particular purpose. Like anytime you want to draw closer to the Lord, or you feel like you're getting ready for a new season, or you have an urgent request to place before the Lord, like consider adding fasting as a part of that time of prayer and setting yourself aside for the Lord. Because fasting couples with that really nicely, I think.
Yeah, and so this isn't exhaustive, but there's, guys, this is straight from Scripture, plenty of reasons. I like that you mentioned it could be done as an individual or a group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's say as a church, if there was something really we needed to intercede for somebody else for, we could fast and pray together as mm-hmm. a group. You see churches and groups do that a lot.
Yeah.
You mentioned city, Nineveh repented and fasted as mm-hmm. a city in the book of Jonah. So lots of examples of that. And so, because I think we didn't get this question necessarily, but it's sometimes people think they've got to feel led by the Lord too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that is not a case you can make from Scripture. There's all these reasons. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a way to draw near to the Lord. You don't have to be led to fast because you're never going to be probably not going to be led to not eat because food is tasty. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I believe we have this on our handout as well. We don't have everything, but we try to give you guys some good information. Mm-hmm. It really, the Mosaic Law, when it was established, the only time that they were told to fast was the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then just over the centuries, traditions and other things, other fasts as the Jewish mm-hmm. people were added. And so let's talk about this. Okay. How to fast.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're not going to, in the next few minutes, be able to answer every question about fasting because we just don't know the answers to every question, so I want to throw that caveat out there. But how to fast, okay? This is an easy one, okay? First thing, you got to determine what your goal is or why you're fasting. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
Because if there's not a spiritual goal in mind, it's just a diet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So there's got to be a spiritual goal in mind. You can write down Isaiah 58. We're not going to show this. This is a long chapter of people trying to appear spiritual and fasting before the Lord, but it was not translating to any change in their character or change of outcome or change of anything, okay? And so the Lord kind of sets them straight on that. So determine what your goal is or why you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
okay? The next part is choose something to abstain from,
yeah.
okay? We are going to primarily talk about food today, but we have a list of some other things that mm-hmm. you can fast from, all right? Food, obviously, is the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Meat.
Yeah. Throughout church history, people have chosen to abstain from meat
sure.
or other beverages. If you grew up in a more liturgical tradition, perhaps you have practiced giving something up for Lent, or in certain churches they'll prescribe, like, these are the things that you give up for Lent. And then, like the guy in the video, sometimes media is so loud in our lives. We're so connected. Sometimes our appetites are more tuned even to that than they are to our need for food. And so sometimes you could couple that with a fast from food, or even just like, I'm not going to watch TV this week and I'm going to dedicate all that time to spending with the Lord. Like, you might be surprised at how much extra time you have in your day to spend with the Lord, giving up social media or TV or something else, sports, maybe even.
What?
But not right now, obviously. So. God would never ask you to fast from sports during Super Bowl season.
Seriously, she's talking crazy now.
But you might find that you have more time giving up those things than you would if you just gave up your meal times. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul talks specifically about husbands and wives agreeing to abstain from intimacy with each other for a prescribed period of time to seek the Lord. He's very clear that the husband and wife need to be on the same page about this. But that's another thing that is a physical desire. Our culture says it's a need. And you see even with like monks and nuns, you know, taking a vow of celibacy, they decide to abstain from this for their entire lives. All of those things we can dedicate unto the Lord, but we do think there is something particularly special about giving up food, of subjecting our physical, literal physical appetites to the Lord, just because it's so viscerally connected and there's going to be like a physical reminder right. of what it is that we're doing.
I want to give an example. I won't say the church, most of you wouldn't know it anyway. There's a church my family goes to, they do a Daniel fast every year. If you're not familiar with the Daniel fast, it's more of a vegetarian diet, and I'm not explaining that completely, probably accurately, which is fine for the sake of the illustration. And this is one reason that we really push abstaining from food. So I thought, you know what, I will do a Daniel, we were still living in Missouri, like, I'll do a Daniel fast, all right? And I'm sitting, probably watching a sporting event. Mm-hmm. I had a bowl of acceptable beans or lentils, like about this, like almost that big. I'm not even exaggerating. And I'm eating that sucker and going, yeah, it'd be nice to have some meat. But I am not denying myself hardly anything. Like, I'm not hungry at all because I was overeating the stuff that was acceptable. So I'm not telling you Daniel fast is not from the Lord, okay? It's not what I'm saying. But there has to be some self-denial. Okay, if you are fasting from food or any type of food and there's no hunger involved, you're not doing it right. Okay, some of you, especially young people, media has such a hold on your life that could be a very valuable thing. Mm-hmm. But I would still suggest that's kind of in a different way. It could be needed very much. And I know people that will do annual media fast for a week or a month. Totally fine. I think there's mm-hmm. great value of that, especially in our society. But if at all possible, I just mm-hmm. think. Fasting for food is what we see in Scripture, and I don't want to downplay other ways if certain people have to for medical, whatever, that's kind of above my pay grade, but fasting from food fights that most basic need at a very fundamental level, and so we just, if you can, that's just where I would suggest to start. So I believe everything on this list is valid. We will often try to do anything other than food. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't try to look for a loophole.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I think we're going to get to that a little bit later, but I think, like, you know your heart. The Lord knows your heart. Are you looking to, you know, surrender something that really has a hold on you, or sure. are you looking to do, like, the bare minimum to say, like, oh, I fasted? Because then that would get into what we talked about with the Pharisees. They were doing it to seem spiritual. You don't need to do this to seem spiritual. You need to do it because you want to draw near to the Lord. And why would we not, if we want to draw near to Jesus, be extravagant in what we offer to him?
Yeah, and this leads kind of into the last thing of after you determine what your goal is with the fast, you determine what you're fasting from, mm-hmm. Commit to spend extra time with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if you're not spending extra time with the Lord, you're just on a diet.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because one thing, you know, if you're praying during mealtime, that should be extra time that you're spending mm-hmm. with the Lord, okay? So there's some very, very easy things.
I would encourage you, you know, as you're sitting down to do this, like, make sure that you have a plan in place, because, first of all, if you don't know how long you're going to fast, like, you're going to fast probably until you get hungry, and then it's going to be over.
About 6 hours for most of you, probably. Yeah.
And if you don't know when and how you're going to spend that extra time with the Lord, it would be easy just to get distracted and forget why you're doing this in the first place. This is jumping ahead a little bit, but we had a question submitted about, you know, if you're a mom and you're at home with little ones. like you may not necessarily have any extra time that's not dedicated to meals if you're responsible for preparing food for someone else. I was reading a book recently about fasting as I was studying for this, and he was like, take all the time that you would prepare food and eat food and spend that time in prayer. I'm like, I think a man wrote this book. Because when I am fasting, I am still making meals for my family. I'm spending exactly as much time with food as I would otherwise. So if I don't plan ahead and think about, like, where am I going to find an extra pocket in my day to spend extra time in prayer with the Lord, then it doesn't have the same value in my life. So if you think ahead, and maybe you do have like a lunch hour and you can go somewhere by yourself and that's easy, but maybe it's not, make sure you have a plan for that so that you're ready to really dedicate that, whatever it is that you've given up, to dedicate it to the Lord and pursue Him wholeheartedly.
So let's move into more questions, okay? Mm-hmm. 605-215-5150 if you've got some here live and in person. Caleb, could I bother you for a second to bring me my phone? I didn't. The first service, again, was so much better than this. But
y'all should have been here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Just in case we have several already, so, but if you got any new ones, let us know. Here's a good one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, what should you say if you're fasting and someone offers you food or invites you out to a meal?
I think this is where people get a little hung up on what Scripture teaches, because Jesus is really clear in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about when you fast. Like, don't announce it before everybody by disfiguring your face. He's like, wash your face, you know, make sure you don't look like you're destitute and starving. Because that's what the Pharisees do. They make a big production out of their fasting. But some people take that all the way to the other side and, like, if anybody finds out that I'm fasting, I've sinned. That is not what Jesus was trying to say. Because depending on what your circumstances are, you may have to communicate with other people about your fasting. When Jason and I are fasting, the other person almost always knows because it affects us. If Jason's like, oh, by the way, I'm not interested in having dinner tonight. I'm going to be in the bedroom. I'm going to be like, what is going on?
I'm just
going
to go to the basement. Don't ask me anything.
So we usually communicate with each other about that. If you have an accountability partner in your life, if you're not married and you have someone other than your spouse that you really lean on, it would be okay to tell that person, like, hey, would you remember me in prayer? I'm practicing fasting this week. The point is not to just make yourself look spiritual. So if somebody asks you out to eat, you could just say no, thank you. But if they press you, you don't have to lie. Like, that would be a sin. Like, you can be like, you know what, I'm fasting this week, maybe next time. And you're not bragging about it. You're not trying to seem more spiritual than someone else. And if it's somebody that doesn't know the Lord, maybe that opens up a conversation for them to be like, well, why in the world would you do that? And you're like, well, I really love Jesus, and this is something that my church teaches, and I'm trying to draw near to Him. And maybe they would be curious about a God that you love enough to go without a meal to serve Him better.
Yeah, I've watched people eat before when I was fasting, mm-hmm. you know, especially if I'm staff at a church and the whole team goes out, and many times whether it's me or somebody else, we're not eating today, okay. You know, we might often know why, but that doesn't violate what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. What Jesus said would apply more to the fasting notification email that, that this character said he sent out, of letting everybody know ahead of time. And so here's another good one. Can I fast something that's not food? We kind of already talked about it a little bit. I would say yes, but we would just say be careful that that doesn't become an excuse to not ever fast from food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a quick one. Here's a difficult one. What if I struggled with an eating disorder? A little above my pay grade, potentially.
Yeah.
But I would say if your doctor's a believer, especially, or if it's a counselor or a psychologist, you know, ask them that. Hopefully they'd have a biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
People often will excuse themselves from fasting without even sort of digging deeper to see what they can do. Mm-hmm. Again, let's just not make sure there's a loophole that doesn't need to be a loophole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then if there's, you know.
And this is where, again, having some sort of accountability partner would maybe be really valuable. If you have somebody that you trust, you could be like, listen, this is something I feel like the Lord is leading me to do, but this is my past. Would you check in with me, you know, every day and, make sure that my heart is right before the Lord, that I'm doing this for the right reasons, and ask the Lord to keep searching your heart, because he knows when it turns into something that's about you and your control over your circumstances versus about Him and surrendering your heart's desires to Him. So I'd say be careful and be wise, but don't think that that necessarily disqualifies you from being able to fast.
Right. This next one kind of falls in a similar category. We are obviously not doctors. We're just regular people like you. Okay? Are we not, Kay? Are we not? It's so good to be here this morning. This is, it says, what if I have low blood sugar and I get irritable when I don't eat regularly? So you get hangry.
So I think there's a whole spectrum of people that that question applies to.
So my answer was it might be good for you.
You know, if you have like serious hypoglycemia or diabetes or something, like maybe consult a doctor. Maybe, you know, talk to somebody who is familiar with all of that. But I think like we all get a little bit cranky when we haven't eaten. You know, and that's sort of the point.
It's like I've actually had somebody say what the character did. I can't fast because it makes me hungry. Like, that's the point. Like, that's kind of the point, okay? What do I eat after fasting? Food. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's probably more to this question. We'll get into a little more later. Like depending on how long you fasted, the slower you would need to reintroduce food. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get lost in the weeds in that. But if you fasted for a long time, you might want to slowly reintroduce foods.
Well, depending on the timing of your fast and the length of your fast, sometimes it can be really meaningful to break your fast with communion. You know, if you can end your fast on a Sunday morning or, you know, if you do communion in your home. We did a Whole 30 once, which was not even necessarily meant as a spiritual practice. But then we had, on the Thursday before Easter as a family, we have a Passover dinner. And we just talk about what the Lord has done because Easter is kind of a busy day for us. And we always have grape juice and unleavened bread. And we take communion together as a family. And that was the first bread that I had had in 30 days. And it felt really meaningful to be like, you know, like I've abstained from this for a long time. And now I'm having bread that is spiritually significant. So that can be a neat way to break your fast, but it's certainly not a requirement in Scripture.
This just in, for somebody that probably knows the answer to this, but this is a good one, which depending on how you grew up, it's probably a very important question. Like, does fasting atone for sin? Okay, the answer is no. Only Jesus can do that. He's already done that, okay? It's a way of drawing near to the Lord, crucifying our flesh, mm-hmm. self-denial.
And I think it heightens our pursuit of the Lord, too. Like, it doesn't make us righteous. Only Jesus' blood can do that. But we've talked a lot here that sanctification, the idea that we are made holy, is both instantaneous in that God sees us as holy and righteous as Jesus the moment we become saved. But we still work that out in our lives in actual practice. Like, hopefully, I'm more like Jesus and less prone to sin than I was a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
No, go ahead.
And fasting helps us in that, I think.
And that's the whole point of spiritual disciplines. Jesus doesn't love us more if we pray more, if we fast more, if we read Scripture more, okay? We're not more saved if we do that, but hopefully, like Amy said, we become more like Him as He has more opportunities mm-hmm. to speak to us and shape our character. And with that, mm-hmm. we also become more effective for Him.
Yeah.
Okay? And it helps us grow up and mature in the Lord. Mm-hmm. How often should I fast? How often did Bible characters fast? I don't know how often they fasted. They just did. How often should you? We can't answer that for you. Okay, it's a spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't fast every day, all day, because you're only going to make it about 40 days and you're going to die. Okay, so no, that was a real question. I don't know, being a little facetious, it's just you can incorporate that into your life. I was better when I was single, I'll be honest, because it's more difficult with a family, which is mm-hmm. true, especially with kids in the home. But I had a schedule for my year. I had every month, I had some goals every quarter, and then once a year, be like, okay, I'm going to try to do something a little bit. I mean, I just, mm-hmm. I had that because I knew, especially the way I'm wired, I'm probably not ever going to feel led. You know, now the Lord at any time could really have laid something on my heart. It's very possible. Okay, He does that. But for me, I needed to incorporate it as a discipline. So that's just something that I would say seek the Lord about, because we can't answer that.
Yeah. But if you've never fasted before, I would encourage you, go home today, think about when you could do that soon. If you have fasted before, maybe think about ways that you could incorporate that into your life as a regular spiritual discipline. Maybe that looks like a 3-day fast once a quarter. Maybe that looks like 1 day once a month. Maybe that looks like one meal once a week. But think about ways you could make it a regular practice.
Okay. Does fasting bring more blessings from the Lord? How would you answer that?
Only insofar as the ways that we've talked about. It will, I believe, with all my heart, if you are pursuing the Lord wholeheartedly in your time of fasting, it will sort of catalyze your walk with God. It'll make you hungrier for Him. Because that's the whole point. When Jesus was fasting in the desert, and I love how honest Scripture is. The Bible says Jesus had fasted 40 days. He was hungry. And then the devil came to him and tempted him with bread. And Jesus answers him with a verse from Deuteronomy that says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if you consider being more hungry for the Lord a blessing, and I would consider that a blessing, then yes, fasting will bless you. Now, am I saying that God, like, fast today, tomorrow you're going to get a check in the mail from somebody that you haven't seen in 20 years? Like, no. Fasting is not a guarantee of any specific outcome. When we fast and pray, I've fasted and prayed for people to be healed, and God has said no. It is not a guarantee of outcomes because we trust God to be God when we pray and we seek Him. But you will, I believe, with all my heart, draw closer to Him. And if you count that as a blessing, then yes, fasting will bless you.
Hopefully she was good. I was only listening to half of that because I'm reading some of these questions. So
you were looking at questions, though,
right? I had some thoughts, but I'm going to assume you got it all. So hopefully that helps you guys. And as always, the Lord is the biggest blessing in our life. Mm-hmm. I think you said. And so I'm going to summarize sort of a question. Like, there was a question really, and maybe goal wasn't the right word. Have a goal. Maybe a reason for your fast would have been better. Mm-hmm. But somebody's asking, like, do you have to have one of those if the Lord leads you to fast?
That's a good
question. No, if the Lord leads you to fast, do it. And maybe He wants to reveal something to you that you need to be seeking, that you're not. You know, I mean, obviously we want to follow the Lord. Mm-hmm. And today we're primarily probably discussing fasting in the realm of this is a spiritual discipline that I need to partake of in my life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because if you're really walking closely with the Lord and the Lord calls you to fast, just do it. And even if the reason is not mm-hmm. clear, I believe he'll reveal that to you.
Yeah.
So
when fasting in the Bible is always coupled with prayer, and if you think about praying, like, do you have to have something to pray about to pray? Yes and no. Like, of course I have requests to bring before the Lord and reasons that I pray, but sometimes I pray just because it's time to pray. You know, and because God is there and I know He's listening. And you can fast kind of for those same reasons. Like, the Lord is there. He's honored by this. I don't have some urgent need in my life. You can fast anyway.
Right. And one reason we're talking about it as a discipline, because there are people that will teach you only fast when you're led to fast, which I believe is a very flimsy conclusion from Scripture.
Yeah, I would never fast. Because I would try to, like, really not listen hard enough.
Yeah. Because we don't just
to hear the Lord call me to do that.
We don't just pray when we're led to pray. Jesus assumes we're going to do both. That's good enough for me. Okay, there's plenty of examples of both. Here's one, and then I'm going to maybe transition just a minute. We'll try to land the plane. Mm-hmm. Sort of when fasting, here's a question: how do you fill up all that time? Especially if you're coupling a food fast with like an entertainment fast, what do you do?
I assume this person is thinking it's more time than you could spend, like, praying for hours and hours and hours a day.
They must eat a lot.
Or maybe, you know, yeah, like if it's a media fast. I mean, I would encourage you to try to fill that time with prayer if you have so much extra time that you don't know what to do with it. But also, it can be one of those things where you go about your normal life, but the Bible says to pray without ceasing. So, like, when I'm fasting, whether it's, like, from something on my phone or from food, like, every time I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry, I stop and pray, like, just for a minute. Like, Lord, I'm hungry, but I want to want you more than I want food. And sometimes that's all of it. Or when I'm like tempted to reach for my phone, I stop and pray just for a second. And you can fill your time with your normal things. And if you don't have anything to fill your time with other than, you know, television or your phone or whatever, I would suggest that it's even more important for you to fast, because maybe the Lord will start revealing to you that there are some idols in your life if it has that much of a hold on you. Did you have anything else? Did that answer the question, you think?
I hope so. Or they're going to send me a hangry text back.
You certainly could do that. The suggestion was, you know, adding in other things that the Lord might have you do, like acts of service, like find a way to volunteer. Come serve in the church. Ask how you could help here. We can always use people helping here. That would certainly be another way to fill your time. Absolutely.
I want to talk just briefly, and this is not, again, I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I really didn't. I want to talk about what your body goes through during the fast, and this is going to be really quick, and this is not going to be exhaustive because there's no way to do that, because some of you have never done this, and you're going to think you're going to die, okay? If you fasted before, day two or three is going to be the worst one, okay? It's usually day two for me. Some of you might be day three. You don't know why? Because your body's full of chemicals, all right? Again, I'm not a doctor. If you have a lot of caffeine and you stop, and let's just say you're just drinking water only, all right? Sugar, you're going to be a problem because you're going to feel like you have the flu somewhere around day two or three, all right? So our suggestion with, and we even have this on our handout, if you're going to go into a longer fast, especially longer than a day, you might want to start reducing some of those things you're eating or drinking that you know is going to make you feel like you want to die. Because that's when most people will give up. Like, oh, I have to be able to function. The Lord couldn't expect me to go through this, right? And we'll talk ourselves out of it, all right? Mm-hmm. So somewhere day two or three, depending on how you've prepared, depending on, you know, your body's just sort of in, hey, I'm not eating, I'm in conservation mode. At some point after day three, your body kind of starts getting into fat burning mode. Again, it's not a diet, but if you're on a total water fast especially, you will reach a point where you're not hungry. So I know for some of you, you're just thinking, I'm going to be dying the whole time. Like even the thought of a 3-4, 7-day fast, you just think you're going to die because the thought of that is just otherworldly. Well, you're not going to die, number one, okay? But this is where you need to plan your fast out. And I'm going to try to do this quick, okay? Some of you may not eat, but you'll still drink certain things, which could make it worse in the sense of if you're still consuming sugar, especially, and you're not eating, you may go through multiple cycles of withdrawal and stuff. So you just got to plan that out. I don't want to get lost in the weeds there. But there's a point around a week-ish where your body kind of finds this equilibrium, and man, things are much more clear. Okay, we talked to somebody last week. You get cold easier because you're not burning calories. All right? More level-headed in the sense of almost like, it will seem like you don't care as much about certain things, but what that is you've just sort of suggested your flesh. What am I trying to say? Subjected.
Subjected.
You suggested to your flesh that it's not in control anymore. You see how I did that? I totally turned that around.
Yeah, they didn't notice at all.
No, they didn't notice that at all. Okay. And so just, and the more you fast, and you sort of know what your body goes through, okay? But really, you can even get to a point where you're not sleeping as much just because your body's more efficient and you're not burning calories. And listen, I don't want to say too much because, again, I'm not a doctor. But I promise you, you're going to feel like you're going to want to die day two or three, and you're not going to die, you know, barring some medical condition, okay? It's actually good for your body, but that's not why we do it. We do it to draw near the Lord, and we do it to deny ourselves, okay? And so for some of you, my challenge would be if you want to work it in your life, many of you have gone almost all day without eating before because you're just busy and you forgot. So for most of us, one day is not really a sacrifice because you'll think about it about dinner time or even after dinner, and then you just gorge yourself and you catch up, right? So I've never felt really good about fasting for a day other than when I was a youth pastor. I challenged all our leaders. We would fast on Wednesdays, possibly 24 hours. Mm-hmm. We'd go out for dinner after youth service, after the students went home, just as a way of celebration for the service. And, you know, we didn't, like, eat three meals at a time. Texas Roadhouse. Oh, so good. But that was sort of what we did. So some of them just would fast a meal. Some of them would fast 24 hours before you service. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of, we did it together for that service, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's about the only time I would fast for a 24-hour period, because especially at that time, I would mm-hmm. often get busy and only eat once a day anyway. So that really wasn't a sacrifice. And so and you can find lots of things online of mm-hmm. what your body goes through. So I'm not trying to answer all those questions. But listen, you'll detox. You might even stink during some of it, have bad breath several days in just because your body's working out stuff, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. When I would suggest, you know, if you've never fasted before, a 40-day fast probably is not the place to start.
don't start big.
Try a day. Try 3 days. It's like we talked about with prayer, like dream big, but start small. Start with something that is achievable. But also, if you're on the other side of the spectrum, if you think for some reason that you can't fast, I want to encourage you, especially as we go into a time of prayer here towards the end, ask the Lord to search your heart, to sift your motives, because sometimes we don't even know what's in our own hearts. A lot of you know, I have an autoimmune disease. I take medicine every morning, every night that I have to take with food. And for the last several years, I have thought, fasting is not a practice that I can engage in anymore. And over the Christmas holidays, as I was reading and studying, I felt like the Lord really challenged me. He's like, can you really not? Or are you just using that as an excuse because you don't want to? And it really stopped me in my tracks, church, because the truth was, I didn't want to. Because it's not fun. Like, we're talking about something that is not, on its surface, an enjoyable practice. But the riches that we can find as we draw nearer to God are worth it. And so the Lord has really just been working on me and challenging me with ways that I could engage in fasting. I'm not going to get into all that because it's not important what I do. But I want you to think about that. Like, think, is this something that I'm resisting, not because I can't, but because I don't want to? And ask the Lord to convict you if that's the case, because I really do think that this is an underutilized and underappreciated spiritual discipline that could really make a difference for a lot of you as you draw nearer to the Lord.
Yeah, I want to wrap up here. I'm going to have Jamie just come up and play on the keyboard a little bit, and we're going to close in prayer. I think we've hit it more than once, but church, we often talk ourselves out of things that will benefit us spiritually just because they're hard. Mm-hmm. So our challenge to you is don't do that. You're going to miss out, not on the guaranteed blessings that are specific, but you will miss out on a blessing of drawing nearer to the Lord. I can tell you this from experience. Anytime I have come off a long fast, at the end, I'm going to tell you, even shoe leather looks appetizing. Okay, you notice how many commercials on TV involve food. You notice how many advertisements involve food. You want to eat it all. But every time, and again, this is not probably just even a 2 or 3 day fast, it's longer, you get to a point where there's a closeness with the Lord that you feel, there's a calmness. Every time that I have eaten after I've come off a long fast, I've been disappointed with the food. Because we build it up almost even to an idol of like, man, it's so good. Okay, food is good. God gave it to us to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it, but we can build it up. We're like, oh, it's here. And I will tell you, every time I've come off a long fast, one, I've been disappointed with the food, and I missed where I was with the Lord just minutes before. And it's not because the Lord is punishing me. It wasn't that I've done anything wrong. It wasn't like I broke a fast because I was undisciplined. Okay, I've done that before plenty of times. Okay, but every time I come off of it, I missed the closeness and the clarity that I had with the Lord. Okay, and that was not, again, punishment. That's just because I built this thing up. I built food up to be this thing that, man, I just can't wait to eat again. And then I eat, and it's like, it's just food. Okay, because there's nothing better than knowing the Lord and being close with Him and serving Him. And
nothing satisfies us like Jesus does. And fasting reminds us of that because we forget. We're forgetful.
Yeah, so we were made to know God for eternity, and we won't always need food like we do now. Okay, so I've got a question for those that follow Jesus, and I just want you to think about this before we close in prayer. Do you struggle with denying yourself? Okay, And I think if all of us were honest, like, yeah, that's, you know, at times I do. Okay, do you struggle with sin, especially those that maybe have habitual sin in your life? Listen, I really think fasting could help you, okay? It's not a guarantee. It's not a magic wand, but incorporate some discipline into your life, okay? Ask God for discipline, right? But then also ask God how you need to respond to this, right? And allow him to speak to you, allow him to lead you somewhere maybe that you don't want to go, but that would be beneficial to you, all right? And listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, we're gonna pray for you. And it's kind of a weird one to begin talking to people that don't know Jesus, but do you recognize your need for God? And you may just be watching online, maybe you're just checking out Jesus, and we ask you, have you fully investigated your unbelief? Because a lot of people don't believe just because they don't want to, because they've had a bad experience or they've seen a bad example of something. But you're hanging on to your unbelief, not because you're convinced of it or even looked into it. Again, it's because you just don't want someone else telling you what to do with your life. Listen, I'm telling you, God loves you. He created you to know him. There's nobody else better to be able to direct your life, okay? And so, listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus, we'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray with you. Use the text number. Use a Connect card. If you're online, use an online Connect card. But listen, we want to pray for you guys this morning. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Listen, if the Lord's convicted you about anything this morning, listen, find somebody to pray with. Let us know how we can pray with you or for you. If you're a student, find a calf, a leader. Amy and I would love to talk with you, love to pray with you. But listen, there's no way, and I know we went long, but there's no way to answer every question about fasting. But hopefully we helped maybe push some of you in a good direction. Because we believe it would be beneficial and help all of you. And so, any final words? Nope. So let's just pray together this morning, okay? Lord, it is such a privilege to gather together every week. God, in a building that's got heat, that's got air conditioning, it is such a privilege to know you, Lord. Even today, God, even as culture is turning against the church, even as culture is turning against those who stand and teach truth, Lord, we thank you for the reality of your presence in our lives, and that all of us together who have surrendered our lives to you, we are now part of the same family. We are brothers and sisters, and we thank you for that. And God, I pray that you would just help all of us, Lord. Lord, as soon as we leave here, Lord, and every day this week, God, I pray that you would help us to pick up our cross and follow you every day. God, following you requires discipline. It requires self-denial. And Lord, so many times we mess that up. We are often bad at it. But God, I pray that you would help us by your Spirit, that you would help us to be the people of God that you want us to be. And God, I pray for everyone who has been challenged today. God, I pray that you would just move them forward, move them closer, Lord, to you. And God, that all of us would look like you a little bit more each day. Lord, as you don't give up on us, but you continue to draw us to you, you continue to mold and shape us. God, we pray that for Cornerstone. We pray that for everyone here. We pray that for those that are watching and listening online. God, we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.